Sider net.
And over at that Flame bench, there's all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
Eckers put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, let's get after it. Another hour of Flames Talk underway. It is Monday, January 27th. The final week of January is underway. And with Aaron Vickers of NHL.com, my name is Pat Steinberg. Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Simplify your life with a security ecosystem. Go to CalgaryLockAndSafe.com to request a security audit and get a tailored solution. Flames Talk's available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm looking forward to this topic. I'm looking forward to what the text line might have to say.
Yes.
Text line always open. 960, 960. So, a little bit later on this hour, Brad Pascal, assistant GM of the Flames, VP Hockey Ops of the Flames, and GM of the Calgary Wranglers. It's our weekly look-in on the Wranglers coming up a little bit later on this hour. He'll do that with us. But right now, Team Canada needs another defenseman at the Four Nations faceoff. And all of a sudden, you wonder if a door is open for a certain member of the Calgary Flames. So here's the situation. If you missed it over the weekend, Alex Pietrangelo of the Vegas Golden Knights and an automatic on Team Canada pulled out of the Four Nations faceoff for Team Canada, essentially saying he wants to rest an ailment and get ready for the Stanley Cup playoffs and the stretch drive. Was essentially, like, that's really not paraphrasing all that much from the announcement the Vegas Golden Knights put out over the weekend. And we'll deal with that and the implications of that in a little bit. But does that open the door for Mackenzie Weegar? Does that open the door for one of the guys who we know was in the mix and one of the guys who we know is pushing to be on this team? Could he potentially now walk through that open door with Pietrangelo being out? Now, I think he's got a shot because he's a right shot defenseman, and so is Pietrangelo. So Canada is losing a right shot guy, and they are kind of overloaded with left shot guys on this roster. But there are a few other names that are going to be thrown into this conversation, Vix. Oilers fans are all hot and bothered about the potential of Evan Bouchard being named to this team. There's Dougie Hamilton of the New Jersey Devils. And by God, that's Drew Doughty's music, because Drew Doughty is, you like that?
I like that way too much. Way too much. Did not see it coming, won't lie.
Drew Doughty hasn't played a regular season game all year long because he got hurt during the preseason, but the Kings defenseman is closing in on a return. He should be back into game action shortly with the Kings, and you're starting to hear his name connected to Team Canada more and more. They don't have to name a replacement until February 11th. Sounds like they'll do it well before that, but I would say the four names I would put in this conversation would be Mackenzie Weegar for sure, along with Evan Bouchard of the Oilers, Dougie Hamilton of the Devils, and yeah, Drew Doughty of the LA Kings. I'm curious as to how you see this, and if I'm missing anybody from that conversation.
I think you are. I'll get to those in a second. But we all know Weegar was
Noah Dobson. Am I missing him?
Well, and they could go any number of ways with this. They could go Dobson. They could go Montour. They could go Ekblad. Chychrun is a left shot but has experience playing the right side. I've seen Letang's name floated out there as well. I'm not saying that these are necessarily as, I don't even want to say high profile or legit as Mackenzie Weegar, but there's a bunch of options out there. We know Weegar was among the final cuts per Frank Saravelli when the rosters were initially released December 4th. Amongst right-shot Canadian defensemen, Weegar is second in hits with 128, third in block shots with 106, sixth in points with 25, seventh in time on ice at 23-25, ninth in plus-minus at plus 10. I got a little asterisk beside that one because I find that's more useful internally than externally when you're looking at a group of defensemen, for example, on the Flames. It's not a good comparison tool. 19th in shorthanded time on ice at 150. Mm-hmm. So what it comes down to for me is, what are you looking for if you're Hockey Canada? Is this the new seventh defenseman that may or may not play? Is this going to be a guy that steps right into the lineup? How much do you value versatility? Because as it stands right now, you got Taves Makar. You can set that in stone. But then you've got Theodore, Parayko, Morrissey, Sanheim. Is Sanheim suddenly your six, or is he still going to be a seven and you're looking for somebody to leapfrog? Because a lot of the value I see in Mackenzie Weegar is you can plug him and play him right away. He can play the right side. If you run into injury troubles, he can play the left side. If you need to, he can play both sides of special teams. Now, you'd probably have to run into some significant injury trouble to take any sort of power play time away, because I imagine it's going to be a 4-1 with Makar on the first unit, and then you've still got Theodore and Morrissey in terms of pure, I don't want to say pure offensive defenseman, but I really like how their offensive games would translate to a 4-1 power play for Team Canada. So at the end of the day, what are you looking for if you're Canada? Is it a pure Pietrangelo replacement? Is it going to be somebody that's going to sit on the bench that you might want to be able to plug and play in any of your other pairings if something should go wrong? Because to me, Uyghur's just a bit of everything, both sides.
But is he? Here's the problem. Has he done enough to be Drew Doughty?
Well, I think a lot of that question is going to be answered by Drew Doughty. And he's not back yet, but he will be soon.
I don't think, like, honestly, at this point,
do you think it's just if Drew Doughty?
I think it's his spot. I really do. Like, with what he, and I'm not suggesting it should be. I would love to see Weegar there. I think that everything that you just said, I agree with. The versatility, his ability to play the left side. They don't have a lot of left side guys, right side guys, but he can still play the left side. Like, for all those reasons, I really, plus he competes his ass off. He's a quality human being. We love him in this city. He's good at getting pucks through. He can play any role you need him to. He'd be fine. And there's no pouting that's going to go along with him being a number right. seven guy. I think there are the same reasons why we pushed for him to be on the team over a Colton Parayko or somebody like that a little earlier, I would still think are fully valid. But now that there is an injury and Drew Doughty is closing in on a return to the lineup, yeah, I all of a sudden I'm like, ugh.
From your perspective, is 5 regular season games in early February enough for Drew Doughty to get to where he needs to be? Because that's the conversation that I think it comes down to. You're alluding to it. I agree with it. Is that enough runway for Doughty to get to 100% of where he needs to be? Or are you taking a 75% Drew Doughty over a hypothetical 100% Mackenzie Weegar? Because I do believe that all things being equal and both players being quote-unquote 100%, nobody's 100% at this point, but 100%, then I do think any sort of tiebreak automatically goes to Drew. And I'm not even necessarily saying that they would be tied, but hypothetically, I think they go Drew Doughty 10 times over 10 just because of the vast experience and known quantity he is in best-on-best, in Olympics, in World Cups. He has just that much more experience. Whereas Weegar only has a small sliver of history with Hockey Canada. Now, in that, he was the best player for Canada at the World Championship. That was a World Championship. It wasn't a best-on-best. I agree with you. If Drew Doughty is healthy and good to go, going to be his spot. If they had to make the decision January 27th instead of February
right.
11th or February
yeah, it might
12th,
be different,
I think
right?
it's a different story.
Doughty has even talked about it in the last little while, where he said he wants to play, which again, I'm just going to go pull up the quotes here. This is from Doughty. This is today. He says, quote, "I'm still hoping I have that outside chance of playing in that Four Nations. I don't want to break. I want to play. So we'll see what happens."
He'd be the freshest defenseman they have.
that is for sure. He wants to play. I'm just knowing how Hockey Canada goes about their business, it feels like if Doughty is up to speed-ish, and I know he hasn't played, but he's also Drew Doughty. He's a future Hall of Famer, all those types of things. I feel like they'll give the nod to him. That's kind of my tea leaves reading. I want it to be Weegar, and I think Weegar personally should have been on the team to begin with, but just the way things, I would be shocked if they don't go Drew Doughty.
I just wonder if, because he's supposed to come back, according to reports, within the next 3 to 5 games for the Kings. So that's going to leave him roughly, if he's somewhere around that four mark, that's going to leave him four-ish games. And the luxury Hockey Canada has is they can take as much time as they need, basically, until the start of the tournament to decide who's going to be that seventh defenseman. And when I say seventh defenseman, it doesn't mean the seventh on the depth chart, it's just seventh name to the roster. It gives them that flexibility to take a real good, hard look at Drew Doughty and see if wherever he's at, he's had enough ice time and game time and practice time to be the Drew Doughty that we've seen the last 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because you go back to it, he's got World Cup experience, Olympics, World Championship, World Juniors, U18s, U17s, Hlinka. Like, he has been Hockey Canada's defenseman forever, through and through. Oh, yeah, a couple Stanley Cups in there as well, if you want to toss that in there. So he's as battle-tested a veteran as they'd have on that roster as well. Well, on the defensive side, at least, anyways.
Yeah, because, I mean, 2010, 2014 Olympics, 2016 World Cup. Like that, and has the, and look, again, I think you can make a very salient argument that taking a Uyghur, because we're on Flames talk, so of course we're going to talk right about the Flames player. But I mean, of Uyghur, Hamilton, and Bouchard, like,
I would go Uyghur over those two.
I think I would too. Like, and, I'm a big Dougie Hamilton fan too, but I think the versatility on Uyghur, I like a little bit more. I would go both those guys over Bouchard. I like Dobson too. I don't know. Who's the other name that you threw out there?
Montour, oh, Ekblad. If you wanted to go pure defensive defenseman, I remember Chris Tanev getting
Ekblad's
a lot of buzz
right
leading up.
Shot too. He's probably going to be in that mix. It's a pretty damn good defenseman. I mean, there's a lot of good names in there. I just think that Uyghur's going to be in the mix. I think he's going to get some consideration, but I think all those names will probably be secondary to Doughty.
I feel like a few of those names will be contingency plans. That's probably the best way to put it. Because again, to me, it would come down to Drew Doughty. And if you're comfortable enough with what you've seen in what's going to amount to probably 75 to 100 minutes of actual game time, because that's all the runway he's going to have to show that he's ready to play and jump into a best on best. It's different playing games in October versus February versus a best-on-best competition against other players, other countries that have had ice time, that have been actually playing games for the last 3 or 4 months. It's one thing to come back. It's another thing to come back and be able to play at a level where you're
okay,
out
but here's
there
my,
against those
here's
guys.
My question. Like, I think that the intensity is going to be higher than an all-star game.
Oh, 100%.
But is this going to be... Like, will this be the same as a Battle of Alberta intensity? Will this be the same as Vancouver-Edmonton? Will this be the same? Like, you know what I'm saying? Is this Toronto-Ottawa like we saw over the weekend? Like, are we talking about mid-season, regular season intensity? Or are we talking about more intense than an all-star game, more intense than a preseason game, but, you know, still guys who would like to win a Stanley Cup and guys that are a little bit more focused on what comes out? And I'm not asking that skeptically, I'm not saying that to be a jerk. I have no idea what to expect from a made-up tournament. And the fact that Alex Pietrangelo pulled out and still played last night on Sunday for Vegas gives you a little bit of insight as to how one player feels about this, that it's not the highest priority. And so I just wonder what the intensity is going to look like, and thus that might play in Doughty's favor.
I think it's going to be intense. First of all, this is the first best-on-best in any iteration in 9 years. If there was an Olympics 2 years ago or 3 years ago, I'm bad with years, and obviously there's one coming up. If we had best-on-best the past 9 years, I'd be way more skeptical about this tournament than I maybe naturally would be. But because we haven't seen a situation like this in almost a decade, I think once you put on that jersey, whether you're Canada, U.S., Sweden, Finland, once you're actually there, and it might not feel like it on January 27th, but February 12th rolls around, I think it's a completely different story. And again, way more intense than an all-star game. I feel like it's not going to be Olympics level worthy. I'm not trying to make that argument here. But I think it's something that's going to be on par with the World Championship, for example. A little different format, but you're still representing your country. not quite best on best there, and it is in this four-team tournament, but not a full best on best. I think the intensity is going to be there. There, I can, not to be, oh, you went to the World Championships. Yes, I've been to the World Championships a few times. The amount of times
I get it.
I was saving you that. I know I could see you like loading it into your chamber there.
I wasn't even thinking about it.
The amount of times I've seen an NHLer from North America lose a quarterfinal or a semifinal game at the World Championship, you can feel how pissed off they are. You can feel how much that stings, that sucks, how intense it was. And I would expect nothing less from the Four Nations.
Then why did Pietrangelo pull out? I'm not trying to be a jerk. Well, I'm just these are also questions that are kicking around in my mind.
Well, maybe it's not as intense on January 27th as it is on February.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I think the closer you get to it, the more it's going to ramp up. The puck's going to drop on the tournament, and suddenly you're Sidney Crosby lining up against Austin Matthews, or you're Connor McDavid going against Jack Hughes.
Okay, how do we feel about Pietrangelo and the optics of? Because I don't blame the guy at all. Pietrangelo is prioritizing his health, his rest. Like, I don't blame the guy because he wants to win another Stanley Cup and feels like the 2 weeks would be better for him and the Vegas Golden Knights than going to play for Canada. I don't blame the guy personally. I don't sit there and say, how could you do that? You're not a patriot. Like, I don't see it like that at all. But, like, how does the NHL see this? They're trying to hype this up. Like, I look at it, I'm like, yeah, I'm excited for it. It's a made-up tournament, but I get what they're trying to do. And it's the first, as you mentioned, best on best that we've seen. And, you know, we know why they're doing a four-team tournament, because of the geopolitical situation in Eastern Europe. So it's a precursor to the Olympics. It's four countries. It's generally best on best. I'm excited for it, but I'm also like, yeah, it's like one thing. It's never going to happen again. It's the one-time only thing. So I guess I would understand the NHL being pissed off, but I'm also like, hey, if you're a player, you got to do what's best for you, and I got no problem with that either.
As a Canadian, I'm not upset at Pietrangelo for pulling out and then playing 24 minutes on Sunday night or whatever he ended up playing. I have no doubt there is something that's nagging that's not preventing him from playing this. And he clearly feels that if he gets 2 weeks off, he can be much more closer to 100% than playing every second day from Monday, January 27th until what he hopes to be mid to late June. I don't disparage the player. I can see the optics from the NHL going, come on. Come on, we need you here.
We're trying to hype this up. Don't make it seem like a secondary thing.
But I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, he's at 100% and just wants 2 weeks off. Despite the fact that
I believe that he's got something nagging him for sure.
So, no, I don't disparage him one bit from any particular angle about not representing Canada in this Four Nations tournament.
Let's read some texts on this whole conversation. This says from Kevin in Carstairs. If Uyghur wants to go, I wish him the best. I hope he gets chosen. However, as a selfish Flames fan, I hope he doesn't go so he doesn't get injured. He gets some rest and he can take on the rest of the season with everything he's got. I don't think there's anything wrong with that from a Flames fan standpoint. This says, as much as this will be fun hockey to watch, Four Nations is not Olympics or even World Cup. Any Calgary Flames players considered should decline to take the opportunity to rest up for the final push of the back half of the season. This reads, nobody outside of McDavid and Makar should only have 5 games to make that team. Best on best is a different animal where a half step can mean everything. And that's where I'm not saying that's wrong. I don't know. Because I don't know how this is going to be taken seriously. You're a little more confident that it's going to be like as intense as ever. And maybe you're right. That would be awesome if it was. I hope you're right. This reads, Doughty has done much over the years. And in the old boys club, that makes sense. But he can't be in game shape. And only if you saw him play for at least a few to gauge things. Don't forget, experience comes with miles on the odometer. To me, I see a case for the other three, Uyghur, Bouchard, Hamilton, before him. And maybe that might be logically correct. However, in saying that, I don't know if that's the way Hockey Canada will look at it. Hockey Canada sees number 8 on the LA Kings and says, let's go. We've got our guy.
Well, again,
I could absolutely see him doing that.
Again, he'd be the most rested player on the team. I understand the rest versus rust argument, but if he can squeeze into a couple of games and dispel some of that trepidation, yeah, if you will. Now, the Kings have two more games remaining in January and four in February, so that's six. And everything that I've seen has him returning in 3 to 5. If it's five games, I don't know if I'm comfortable from a Hockey Canada perspective to bring him. If it's closer to three and you get three-game look at him.
Man, if he comes back and plays 26 minutes in his first game, I feel like Hockey Canada will be comfortable bringing him. This says, dude wants to stay. Petrangelo wants to stay in Vegas. Guarantee the club said who and what is your priority. And yeah, I mean, that's probably the way that he was thinking about it. This says, don't forget Dobson's injured in week to week, hence the Tony DeAngelo signing, which is true, which probably takes him out of the conversation. Robin Coldale says, all tournaments are made up, Pat. The Olympics are made up. Yes, I know, Rob, but there's significantly less...
That sounds
less,
like something I should have said.
There's significantly less history with the one-time-only made-for-TV Four Nations face-off than there is with the Olympics or the NHL regular season, is my point. This says, I would rather no break to the regular season for Four Nations. Huge risk of injuries to players in the hunt. Brennan says, I think it's going to go one of two ways. The players will take it seriously and make it a good tournament and play hard, or they take it as seriously as the All-Star game, being that it's a one-off and be very uneventful. That comes from Brennan on Banff Trail. And this says, yeah, there's just a little bit of the response at 960. I'm curious the way this goes. I'm curious if there are other names that go the same direction as Petrangelo went as well. You know, Markstrom's likely out, but that's injury related. Have we got an announcement on William Karlsson as to whether or not he's going to miss?
I don't think we've seen one yet.
Like, sounds like William Karlsson's probably going to miss, but again, that's because of injury. That could open the door for instance, a Michael Backlund. But again, if you're Sweden, you're probably looking at it on both Markstrom and Carlson's front saying, well, they've got up until the final day of the tournament or the final day before the tournament begins, February 11th, to make a decision. You know, we're hearing from the insiders that Hockey Canada wants to make their decision on Petrangelo's replacement well before that. But if you're Sweden, maybe you see how Markstrom's going, maybe you see how Carlson's going, and then you make your decision a little bit closer to the deadline to see if you can get the guys that you desire to be on your team in time for it. So that's going to be really interesting. We've never really had anything like this before. Olympics, different animal, World Cup before the season. Yeah, this is uncharted waters in a lot of ways.
If I could toss out one critique, and I assure you there's more than one to be had, I wish they would have opened with Canada, USA, and Finland, Sweden. That would have set the tone. Right now, it's Canada versus Sweden as the opener on Wednesday, February 12th. Thursday, February 13th is USA, Finland. I think if you would have flipped those games around and had Canada, USA, and Finland, Sweden, that would really be a tone setter in terms of the intensity of this tournament.
It is Steinberg and Vickers along with you this hour on Flames Talk, and we're coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
Anything and everything Calgary Flames, it's all on Flames Talk, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It's a Monday, which means it's time to check in on the number one affiliate of the Calgary Flames, and that would be the Calgary Wranglers. The last time we saw the Wranglers, last time that we checked in on them here on Flames Talk, since the last time, Wranglers, a 6-1 loss in Ontario Tuesday, then a 7-5 win over San Diego at the Dome on Saturday, and then Sunday afternoon, a 5-4 overtime loss to that same San Diego Gulls team. Wranglers still on top of the Pacific Division in the American League, 28-13-2 on the season, and they're not back in action until this weekend when they're on the road in Abbotsford. It's Pat Steinberg, Aaron Vickers, along with you. And this week on our weekly check-in with the Wranglers, we say hello on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline to the VP of Hockey Operations, Assistant General Manager of the Calgary Flames, and also the GM of the Calgary Wranglers. Brad Paschal is with us right now. Hello, BP.
Hey, Pat. Thanks for having me on.
As always, pleasure to have you. How would you evaluate the last week or so for your group?
Well, a little bit of a different team, to be honest with you. I mean, if you look not only the last week, but the last few weeks, you know, we've had a few players that one player suspended, a couple players up, a couple players injured. So, you know, we're a little bit of a we have three players up from our Rapid City CHL team and one on a PTO up front. And we had one of our defensemen, Jonathan Asprov, playing up front as well, just to fill some gaps. But, you know, we muscled through some wins, a little higher scoring than maybe we hoped, especially the goals against and chances against. But, you know, overall, the guys are persevering and working really hard and grinding it out.
And your group continues to be fighting for top spot overall in the American League. Like, as we move towards the AHL All-Star break and into stretch drive territory, you have to be pretty happy about just overall where the group's at, I would imagine.
Yeah, really pleased. Really pleased. Like, there's, you know, lots of players at the halfway mark here that have had great seasons. You know, overall, we've seen some players go up in the NHL that have deserved it, and we're really excited about that they get that opportunity. And, you know, Clark Bishop, the captain of the Wranglers, is the most recent and scoring a goal up there, which was awesome. And it's good to have those guys up and getting those opportunities. And, you know, there's so many more players that are deserving as well, that which is great. It's great to have, you know, a firm team here in Calgary. And but A, the team's having success, and B, some of these players that are playing so well that, you know, just they're just waiting for that opportunity to see what they can do in the NHL.
You know, it's and you talk about it being a different team on the ice, Brad. It's also over the last little bit here, last month or so, different coaching staff as well, with Trent Cull being up with the Flames, with Brad Larson continuing to have his time away from the team. How have you liked the way the new coaching staff has meshed? You bring Marty Jelena in, you move Joe Cirella up to head coach. How has that gone from your standpoint?
Yeah, Joe. I mean, Joe's a guy that's been an assistant coach with us for seven seasons. He knows the players. He knows the organization. You know, he's never been a head coach ever, but he's been a tremendous assistant coach in junior and in the AHL. So, you know, we just felt it was a good opportunity for him, and a well-deserved opportunity, quite frankly. So, to come up on an interim basis, and you know, Marty Jelena is a guy. Obviously, he's a player, tremendous player, and. But, you know, he's had that assistant coach role in the NHL before.
Yep.
You know, he's one of the key guys in our player development system. So, again, knows the players. And, you know, he's always around the Wranglers at practices and games anyways. But for him to step into this role, we were really thankful for him to, you know, because it is a lot of time. It's a lot of time, you know, compared to what he's doing in player development. Not that that's not a lot of time, but it just gives him a little bit more focus coaching, and he's working with our defense, young defenseman, and we think that's a real positive for the group.
So news on this Monday involving the Wranglers and the Flames, with Rory Karens being reassigned back to the Wranglers. What can you, Brad, what can you tell us about that decision?
Well, I think, you know, at the end of the day, our discussions are that we want our players playing. And the last two Flames games, he wasn't playing. He sat out those games. And, you know, at the end of the day, talking to Ryan and Craig, if he's not going to be in the lineup, we want him playing games. And that's really what it comes down to. You know, obviously, he had four assists when he was up, turned a lot of heads. He's a great story from where he's gone, even from the start of training camp to now. You know, he's a skilled, smart player. And, you know, I think he'll have another call up, I hope, at some point. But at the end of the day, the decision was made just to have him playing games.
Big to have him back on that Wranglers team, though, knowing what he's been able to do. Like, how from a Calgary Wranglers standpoint, how excited are you to have number 86 back?
Oh, for sure. No, he's, you know, he's still he's been up here for 3 weeks in the NHL, and he's still, I believe, in the top 20 scoring in the AHL, and not off by too many. So, and then, you know, having Dryden Hunt, you know, back this week too, he missed the last couple of games due to injury. And, so to have both those guys back, they had good chemistry throughout the whole season. So to get both those guys back into our lineup, but, you know, back with the Wranglers, I think it's tremendous for the group.
You talked about you know, wanting Kerins to play. And also you talked about the experience that he would have gotten at the NHL level. You know, Vix and I talked about a little earlier. You would imagine that that was a massive, even though, you know, it comes to an end here on this Monday. Four games he played in the, well, I guess it was seven games he was up with the team for. Like, what an opportunity for Kerins in terms of a learning experience for him.
Oh, yeah. No, it's just, any time to, you know, you talk about it. You talk about, hey, the difference between the American League and the NHL and really every play matters. And, you know, it's one thing to talk about it as a group from a player development standpoint to an American League standpoint, but then have the player go up and then and see it firsthand of just, you know, what it takes to play 82 games in one season in the NHL on a full-time basis. And it's a really good eye-opener. But you're right. He went up, had success. Good on him and well deserved. And again, it's all about playing games. I envision another opportunity for him here before the season's out.
We're chatting with Brad Pascal. He's the GM of the Calgary Wranglers, AGM, VP Hockey Ops for the Calgary Flames. So we're checking in on the Wranglers like we do every Monday here on Flames Talk. He's joining us on a Monday. It's Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers. Vix?
Brad, you referenced your captain a couple minutes ago, and just how cool is it to see Clark Bishop get into NHL action the last few games after what was almost a full 3-year wait between NHL stints?
Yeah, very cool. And, he's been a mainstay here of the Wranglers for the last number of years. And when we named him captain this year, he was just so proud to take on that role. Still felt, you know, I think we all still felt that he played depth games and him as an individual, he knew that as well. And to have that opportunity and then to score that goal, I mean, we were all just pumped for him, and including him and his family, of course, and the Flames. But no, it's great. He's a guy that works so hard, and he's a great leader for our AHL group. Just teaching guys on and off the ice what it means to be a pro, and to have those guys around, especially your younger players, is just, you know, it's absolutely awesome. And it's a key to success is what it is, of player development and day to day with the Wranglers. So now really happy for Clark to continue to get that opportunity with the NHL Flames.
Could probably teach a thing or two about perseverance as well, because it was 2,241 days between NHL goals. You kind of touched on it a little bit, but what made him a recall candidate? And sometimes we've seen in the past, not necessarily with just the Flames organization, but with others, where being the captain of the minor league team can sometimes sort of spell doom for any sort of NHL potential future. What made Clark Bishop a candidate to be recalled by the Flames?
Yeah, probably three things. And number one is just his overall experience. I think that's, you know, that was a key component of him being able to play center and wing, a little bit of flexibility. Number two, his play this season. I think his career high ever has been 11 goals, and halfway through the season he had 16 goals. And I think that was another factor. And I think the third thing is just versatility. Like, here's a guy that can play, you know, in especially in the American League, every situation: power play, penalty kill, block shots, kill penalties, take faceoffs, play both left and right wing as well as center. So I think taking all those factors into play, and, you know, I think at any time during the year when there's call-ups to the NHL, you're looking for something specific, whether it's a centerman or a left winger or somebody that can bring energy. And I think those are three of the things that Clark brings. And, you know, I talked about experience, but it's leadership and it's energy and it's, and just reliability. So all those things, you know, and it was just, yeah, it was a long time in between goals, but, you know, this is a guy that grinds it out every day, and nobody works harder than Clark.
It feels like a lot of the things you just said could also be applied a little bit to Dryden Hunt. I'm just curious how he's doing with the Wranglers.
Yeah, like I mentioned, he was hurt last week, missed a couple of games this weekend. We fully expect him to be back and fully cleared here starting tomorrow. So, Clark's right from the get-go. Training camp, I thought he had a really really, really good NHL training mm-hmm. camp, and sent down, you know, he's of all the players that have had success this year, Dryden is the one player that really drives everything for us. Just like Clark, he's the guy that can play in every situation and really drives the offense. And you look at some of our younger players like Rory Cairns and William Stromgren, just the synergy that and really the help that Hunt has put with those guys, just to give them confidence to help them in offensive situations and even defensive situations has been really good. So no, Dryden's been has had a tremendous season, and another guy that's just knocking on the door for an NHL call up.
Brad, you said the magic word. There's a little bit of a running punchline that any time we talk Wranglers, I have to bring up William Stromgren. It's dating back to even Penticton, so I'd be remiss since you mentioned his name. 12 goals, 37 points in 42 games. The 12 goals, 37 points are already pro highs with the Wranglers. I'm just curious what you've seen in his development and maybe an update on a timeline on when we might see him in an NHL jersey.
Yeah, soon. I foresee that being soon, to be quite honest with you. He's, you know, I think we've talked a number of times when I've been on of just the one guy that's progressed and progression, and William continues to do that. You know, you look, although we lost on Sunday afternoon, he came out of the game with three assists, and he, you know, just his day to day progression and attention to detail. And it takes some time, right? Just learning to be a pro. But yeah, he's 37 points in 42 games. Like, yeah, he's a key component for Wrangler success. And as an individual, like I say, it continues to progress. And another guy that hey, is going to get an opportunity at some point, I believe. And you know, whether it's next, exciting prospect for our group.
I just want to ask you about his offensive evolution, because you mentioned he's a near point-per-game player for you this season, but he only had one in, I think, his first 8 or 9 games of the season. What clicked for him early on, and how have you seen him sort of run with that offensive growth?
Yeah, I think it's just part and parcel of a young guy, you know, coming back from NHL training camp. Maybe, you know, you envision at the start of camp that, hey, I'm going to make the Flames, and then you come down and... You know, we're no different. You always have lots of players to start. So it's just, you know, just finding your niche again. And then, you know, I think it was who he was playing with. We were juggling lines a little bit. And, you know, then I think he really had some synergy with Cairns and Hunt and even Clapped at times. So it was just getting into a rhythm more than anything. So there wasn't anything that really stood out in a negative way. You know, but sometimes you have those, you have a little bit of dips, right? And especially right after NHL training camp. And you saw that a little bit with William, but at the end of the day, there was no concerns. It was just, you know, him getting his footing and getting back up and running.
A couple more with Brad Paschal. He is the AGM and VP Hockey Ops of the Calgary Flames, also the general manager of the Calgary Wranglers. I know the result didn't go the way you wanted it Sunday afternoon with the 5-4 OT loss to San Diego, Brad, but how nice from your standpoint was it to see Devin Cooley back between the pipes?
Yeah, awesome. Really good. And you know, hey, he's been just an amazing player for the Wranglers, but really for the whole league. Like this guy is an exciting player to watch for anybody that follows hockey, especially in the American League. And yeah, he was out for a few weeks there with an injury, and to have him come back and play and just start getting his rhythm back is exciting for, you know, not only for the Wrangler group, but, you know, from a depth situation with the Flames as well, to make sure that we have him available to us, you know, if anything was to happen. So, yeah, no, Devin's had just a tremendous year, and even with his time away, it continues to be one of the, you know, one of the top minutes played in the league and top five in really every category there is. So, just awesome to have him back and having a great year, of course.
And in his absence, really, really yeoman's work from Ignatiev, who stepped up, and Murphy, who came up from Rapid City. That had to be really encouraging to see a couple of your younger goalies step in and get the job done as well.
Well, yeah, they had to, right? You know, that's the thing. It's like, it's always about what door opens and what opportunity is there, and especially in that position. So it's like, you roll out the carpet and say, hey, here's your opportunity to shine. And you're right, both those guys had some, you know, had some really good games and made some big saves for the group. And, you know, it's kudos to our goaltending department with, you know, Jordan Siglett, Mackenzie Skapski. They've worked with all of our goalies throughout the organization, and especially those two along with Cooley. So done a great job.
Brad, as always, my friend, appreciate the time. You've got the Wranglers have got a little bit of a lighter week before they're into Abbotsford for the weekend. So good luck against that Canucks group on the weekend. And thanks for doing this. As always, appreciate the time.
Thanks, fellas. Have a great night.
You as well. That is Brad Pascal. He is the AGM of the Calgary Flames, VP of Hockey Ops as well, and, of course, the GM of the Calgary Wranglers. He joined us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Enjoy hockey and football game day specials at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Pickup and deliveries available at Atlas Pizza, 403-248-3344. As we start to wrap things up this hour, he's Aaron Vickers on Twitter at AA Vickers. We will talk to you on Tuesday on a game day. Thanks, pal.
Thank you, buddy.
Cam Hughes, Shan Vergie, our outstanding producers this hour. And this hour wraps up, as always. This hour has been the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Simplify your life with a security ecosystem. Go to CalgaryLockAndSafe.com to request a security audit and get a tailored solution.